we have won. Yeah, because that will make them afraid. And like, everybody knows who you are and what you're supposed to do. Your time is out.
Hey everyone, happy Friday. And today I have for you a short and delightful conversation with the incredible Dr. Jakob Nordengaard. You'll have seen him before with the full history of the Rockefeller family, the WEF, the UN. 20 years he's been tracking and archiving and studying this whole kind of monster that's broken on our shores since March 2020. So a great guy. I'll put a link to my earlier interviews with him below and his amazing talks. But this short conversation in a Sweden Freedom Conference a few days ago, he goes through the latest of what's being planned and the kind of planetary brain and AI and all that stuff that they're planning for us. But also the latter half of the interview is full of hope, and he has amazing hope for the future, and so did many of the speakers there in Sweden. We're getting a massive increase in awareness. It's not enough yet, but even in mainstream, we're getting a lot of awareness around the rot that's in the system coming down the track to us. So I think a great discussion in the latter half on hope and why we have hope and what we all need to do. So here you go, Dr. Jakob Nordengaard.
I'm here with yet another great discussion at a Swedish Freedom Type Conference. Fantastic people here. I've got a lot of interviews already. And now finally, after Dr. Nordengaard's latest fantastic talk, we've met up yet again. So, Jakob, your original talk I found, I put on YouTube, it got a lot of reach, which is fantastic because I recognized it immediately as a crucial part of this whole struggle. Understanding the documented, fully published history of Rockefeller through the UN, League of Nations, Trilateral Commission, WEF, all of this stuff, Club of Rome, and none of it's a conspiracy theory. It's all a geopolitical long game, all documented, all very smart. And almost, when you see it all, almost expected. It kind of makes sense that the very top powers in the world will work over generations to control and manage the world. So it makes sense. But your latest talk, you've moved on to more the latest of what's going on, I think, and what's actually happening now and where we're heading and what we need to be careful about. So maybe in your own words, we can just work through some of that.
I mean, my latest book is about the futures agenda.
Mm.
Yeah, the book is called Digital World Brain, and it covers the United Nations, our common agenda.
Mm.
Mm. And that came out in 2021, right after the declaration of a Great Reset. And at the Great Reset, we had, of course, Klaus Schwab, King Charles III, and Antonio Guterres. Well, Charles wasn't king at the time, but now he is. But it was very interesting to see these three people. And some months later, this our common agenda was decided that the Secretary General would put together a new report on how to govern the world for to cope with future challenges or global challenges,
real or imaginary.
I mean it was initiated by, triggered by the pandemic, of course. Mm. I mean, it saw a lot of things that happened after that. So so I followed this. I've been writing. I mean, this report came out in 2021, and after that they initiated a high-level panel with the Swedish former prime minister as one of those who were headed this, and a couple of other important people were just supposed to come up with ideas on how to achieve this agenda. And they also have published policy briefs about this at the UN level on certain topics. And when I started to investigate this, I realized this is what we want to do is to build a sort of a global brain, a global digital brain. And it's like a crystal ball, you could say, a digital crystal ball. It's about to that every man and woman and child and every will be a part of this digitized world network, and we will be run through, I mean, digital identification, and that's a big part of it. To have a digital ID on every person and every item, it's like creating a huge inventory of everything on the planet, and they think if we have that, we can track everything, and we can also almost look into the future and prevent future events through, I mean, analyzing all the data that we gather from all the people and the planet as a whole, and then they can decide the future. That's the idea behind it. It's a very futuristic, megalomaniac plan, I would say.
It is indeed, and I remember it was springs to mind as Morris Strong in his early days, that corrupt creature. And sitting beside him was an author, you'll probably recall who, but again, a futurist. So at the top table of these massively powerful UN environment quangos and organizations, you've got Morris Strong, who was a guy working for the Rockefellers, an oil guy, and now he's at the top. He was helped there, of course. But beside him at the top table is a futuristic author. So this kind of futurism and kind of trans stuff, it pervades their whole thing.
Yes, And that is, I mean, now we can see it. I mean, before it was kind of, I remember I was made aware of this transhumanistic ideas. It was like 25 years ago during, I was at the university, and I just found this was just, these are just mad people that has deranged ideas. So it was very strange to find out that, we're doing research about European Union later, European Union policy. And I found this, they had these programs they gave a lot of money to emerging technologies development at the European Union, and that's where our money went. Taxpayer money to European Union, and they have these transhumanistic programs and also the ideas to create this kind of global brain. So it started to pop out after that, and now especially after Klaus Schwab came out with his book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, 2016. I mean, then it was open for everyone to see.
Open, but of course, no main media focus, no investigative journalism, no questioning of this ultra-powerful organizations planning things that would not make sense to a decent, normal human being. So no media coverage. And predicting the future, of course, there's no magical stuff about this. If you have all the data and you have AI, you can, of course, predict trends and future trends. But I guess one thing they'll really be interested here is a future trend towards any form of rebellion against this system. So that's probably the primary reason for it. And the broader reason is control. But the real reason is people over time, when they're disenfranchised, when they're losing their lifestyle, their children's futures in this kind of dystopian mess that they're creating, you're going to have people wanting to push back. And this will be useful for that, to prevent that.
We talk about a singleton. Have you heard of it?
Well, I know from physics a singleton, but not in this context.
We have it's a Swedish philosopher, tech philosopher, and he was the one who actually set up the first transhumanist association, now Humanity Plus, and he developed the theory about the singleton, And that's a single decision-making body for everything on Earth.
Totalitarian.
Yeah. And it could be run by an AI. And these people, they are that idea. They love it, of yeah. course.
Oh yeah.
So. And it's very interesting. We have this. It's a meeting in Dubai, World Government Summit, where they and it's not just a meeting; it's also an organization. And they have. I mean, every year they have the futurists coming there, and they also have this. You can go into a website and check because they have this technology trends. So they predict how things will evolve with the technologies in the future, and it's that is dystopian and really scary. And they have this about the singleton, singleton that will decide everything for you, and they will finally have peace. It was everything. You don't have to be worried about people that are revolting and thinking the wrong thoughts and so on, because they will be punished automatically.
So you're now kind of pointless, lacking in all human freedom and drive existence. Well, it's great because you're safe. You're now safe to have a useless life.
Yeah, because it becomes meaningless, everything, as well, because they want an automated world.
Yeah.
Where humans are, I mean, we have no use for humans. As Yuval Harari has said, I mean, what should we do with the humans in the future? We can play video games or take drugs. And why would these people at the top want useless people?
Yeah, they're just a problem, and the overpopulation theme has been there in Europe for 100 years. But the thing is, for these people at the top, it's quite dramatically the opposite. The world they want to create, they will not be subject to the uselessness and boredom and lack of freedom, because by definition, they're orchestrating it, engineering it, and they're at the top. So they'll have an exciting time running and managing this ant farm. It's just that the vast majority of people who are clueless about what's coming, they'll end up under the cosh or trapped. But the guys doing it will actually have quite an exciting, free and interesting life as they manage all these little ants. And they will have all these computers and AI, and they can watch how they behave.
Yeah, and we talk about forming a world organism.
Yes. <That's>... sick puppies. And you know, again, I often mention for the viewer, because people feel this feels like what I've been programmed. So people have been programmed for 30-40 years that anything that involves very powerful organizations above them doing things that are not in the interest of the people, that by definition, by default, is a conspiracy theory. You don't have to think. So people watching who are in the middle, they say this feels kind of conspiratorial. But the key thing is, this is all documented. It's documented in huge documents and plans. Often it's couched in BS word salad language, so it doesn't feel threatening. But it's all documented. And the only question is, will they get to continue without people waking up and saying, hold on a minute, I want direct democracy. In my country, I want my politician I voted for to be actually doing the stuff that we want and not reporting right up to the UN and the G20 and doing crazy stuff and enriching themselves from it while pretending to be taking my vote and working for me. So what do you think about where we're going now in terms of responding to this and an awareness and awakening?
I actually, in my speech I had, I talked about that they have an artificial intelligence that they think will manage everything. But we have a natural intelligence. We have something that binds us together and it gets us together. And it's like we have a defense mechanism in humanity. And I believe that. that's what's happening. And I've seen this for, I started out with this like 20 years ago, studying these networks and the ideas they had. So a lot of things have happened. And I feel, this conference that we are at, it's an example that people are coming together. And these people will influence other people. It will just, it already started. It's like it's a planting a seed in the ground. And it just grows and grows.
And it is also an organism, like they have an artificial organism which will never match humanity's scope and capability. Yeah. But what you're referring to is a very real evolving organism of immense power and evolutionary history will start growing. Now, that's why I think, and I'll get your opinion on this, I sense that they're racing to cut us off at the pass. They're aware of what you said, and they're trying to get in as much legal structure, censorship structure, and technocratic control structure before that blossoms. So it's yeah. kind of, it's all to play for, like, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, it's cat and mouse now. It's but as I say, the truth is biting them in the heels. It's there. Yeah. we can't get away with this. It's impossible. You can't beat truth.
I agree in principle. I'm also a bit of a hard-ass corporate realist that the bad guys can win for long periods. Eventually, humanity will bounce back regardless of technocratic control. But it could be some difficult years ahead depending on this knife edge where it falls. Now, Canada, I just saw yesterday, or this morning, Canada's new kind of censorship industrial complex laws, I forget the name, they're really going into place, and now they want to set up a register as part of these new censorship laws for podcasts. Now, this is not like mainstream. This is someone who has a podcast registers with the Canadian government. Mm. A podcast, a discussion between a couple of people.
Yeah.
Whoa, register your podcast. So, that and many more, they are trying to cut off at the pass. But I agree, I can't see it happening. Just my belief in humanity, I can't see them winning.
And they try to control the digital world.
Oh yeah.
We live in the physical world. And we can have meetings with people. And that's the important things to do now, just to talk to talk to neighbors and just, people are more aware than we think.
Absolutely.
When I talk to my neighbors and I go to the nearest grocery store, I follow you on Facebook. Good work. So, it's kind of simple people, but they know.
And it will grow. And I think then you'll see an accelerant or an acceleration when so far they are buying off the people, like in COVID, they threw money at everyone. Mm. UBI, Universal Basic Income, will be another thing. Oh, we'll give money to the most lazy people and then we'll own them as an army to defend our nonsense because we'll have paid them off. And of course, politicians are paid off in so many ways, not with briefcases of cash anymore because that's risky. So you pay them off with, you'll be looked after. You'll get a UN role. Mm. It's technically not illegal. So they're doing all of this, but ultimately when the people begin to suffer, and even with COVID lockdowns, children suffered, we all suffered, but not in a big way. But when the masses begin to feel what you describe, impinging and closing in on them, that's when you'll get the real rise.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
The paperclip occurs to me. I found out about it yesterday. I'm not sure if you saw someone mention it last night. It was late. There's a new movement from Norway.
The Binders.
Binders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was in Stavanger at their conference. So.
Very good. And just for the listeners, it's a great idea. And you simply take a paperclip and you slide it on your lapel. And obviously, you're not making a big offensive statement like my T-shirt with a full-grown sheep with a blue mask on it. No, it's not quite that obvious. But you put the paperclip, and then everyone likewise knows, oh, there's a good man or a good woman. There's a person of principle who knows there's something wrong. And it actually, no one mentioned it, but I remember from my World War II kind of studies that, it was Czech Republic, I think, during the Troubles when they were trying to get free. There was a thing called the resistance movement, and they put a resistor, you know, the electronic device, a resistor on a circuit board. You just simply put one into the wool of your jacket, a little resistor, resistance. And they could not punish you for it. And yet it infuriated them because all these resistors were saying a message, but you couldn't quite, you know, arrest someone.
Exactly.
Oh, I was working on my circuit board. Oh, look, it got caught me. So I love the paperclip idea. So if nothing else, think about supporting that. So any, I know you have to get back to the conference, but any other key, key things to occur that occur to you in this? I think we've covered the essence here of what's coming. Any further thoughts to, before closing?
About
our challenge in general, or
but thing is, I have big hope.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I feel that now, and I think it's very important that we express this.
Yes.
We have won.
Yeah,
because that will make them afraid. and like, everybody knows who you are and what you are supposed to do. Your time is out.
There is a growing awareness, and it's very hard to stop that. And the other thing, just to your point, it's very scary when you're running a massive scam for nearly a century and it comes to fruition, but then for the first time a lot of people start realizing it, because you've been able to be completely comfortable in the shadows.
But now they
got a problem.
Exactly. Now you can see what we're doing and you can't unsee this.
Exactly. And it may make them rash.
And
that's an
every move I make now, more exposed, and
being
more
watched,
and more people will wake up and understand.
And in proof points, they have demonstrated failure and misjudgment. Monkeypox, they really pushed. Tedros overruled the WHO panel that said it's not an emergency, guys, because clearly it was nothing. He overruled it and said international emergency, and it collapsed in comically. It was a farce. And then a month ago, I'm sure you of course noticed, all the media in the world suddenly started talking about variants. It's like, what? And they actually had a go. Can we get a little bit of an organ grinder's monkey, a COVID nonsense going? And it didn't work. And then all the media backed away. So they've had false starts.
Yes.
And it's beginning to get much more tricky for them, which is good for us.
Yes.
Good man, Jakob.
Great stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What a lovely man, eh? And just a big thanks, as always, to my Patreon and PayPal supporters and anyone else who can jump on board and give a little support. Hugely appreciated. I got to cover my own costs, you know, going to Sweden and going to the UK in a couple of weeks' time. And to get the interviews, do all the work, you know, it needs support. So huge thanks to everyone supporting me and anyone else who can help out a bit, because this investigative journalism, particularly of a technical nature that is required to decode the madness that's going on in the world, I really feel, and I hope you agree, it has to be carried out. The mainstream media is a fire hose torrent of misinformation and nonsense, because it's been largely purchased by the advertisers and all the bad guys over the last 20 years. So we do need this to give us hope, to get the messages out, the information, so people can lobby their politicians, lobby their media, and start getting us back to reality. If we don't get back to reality, the future for the children, the grandchildren, everyone is in peril. No question about it. But as you heard there at the end from Dr. Nordengird, there is a lot of awakening. I'm doing my bit insofar as I can to help with that. And many more great people are too, like Jakob and the others there in Sweden, and so many more. So if you can support, really appreciate it. If you can't, that's okay too. Maybe you can help by sharing, subscribing, etc. And do your part to save the world. Thank you.